The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
The network children ask for by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
It's Monday in America, and you are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, JM Bell's The Left Show.
You know who the best looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, JM Bell.
JM Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
It's Monday in America, and you're listening to the world's greatest political podcast. It's me, Jeff. Joining me this week.
Hi, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy. JC.
Hi.
And Tiffany.
Hello, everyone.
It's a hell of a day. I'm sitting around wondering about, whether my old acquaintances should be forgot.
Probably.
Never brought to mind.
Probably most of them, yeah. Yeah, that's my plan.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Just a warning to those with sensitive ears. There are dogs here, and they're being assholes again today, so you may hear a bark or 10.
It's 20, a running theme, I guess.
30. Yeah, they were nice and quiet for the comic book podcast.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's about all I can get out of them is a couple of hours, and then they get all twitchy as shit. See?
Yep.
I kicked it, that's why.
You kicked it?
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Okay.
Love you, bye.
It's a holiday here at the studio.
So well, Grant's kicking the dogs.
Well, why wouldn't you? I don't know. Welcome to 2023, gang.
Holy shit, I can't believe it.
I know, huh?
It's still like 2020.
Only yesterday.
It's still 2020.
It's like only yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, upon reflection, what stood out for you guys news-wise last year? Anything come to mind as big, important, things that have stuck with you?
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was great.
Yeah.
Pizza's taken down. What's his name? This last week.
Yeah, don't do that. We're talking about that.
That one made me laugh so hard. But anyway, no, the one that stood out to me, I guess, was Trump's secret documents.
Oh, yeah.
Having top secret documents after he signed a law that said you can't have top secret documents in your private residence. He went ahead and took home secret documents because the law doesn't apply to the fat fuck.
Nope.
He's the Archangel Uriel, after all.
Yeah,
I learned that today.
The tangerine toenail.
Oh, my God. What's yours?
Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. Democrats saying they won when they lost.
That just reshaped everything this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. This last year. Yeah.
I was going for positive because I did think of that one, but.
No, you did good. I liked yours because I don't go positive. I very, very rarely go positive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was, we did over at the comic book show tomorrow, we go through our best and worst list of 2022, and worst was far easier to figure out than best was.
Yeah. Worst is usually easy to figure out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Roe v. Wade, you were about to say the Democrats having an unprecedented win.
No. What I was about to say was that they had a not as bad as they thought it was going to be loss.
He wouldn't have used that word.
They didn't lose as bad as we thought they would. And it was because of Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Yeah.
That was the primary, in my opinion, the primary reason why
they
did as well.
The Dobbs decision for that one. I'd give the Dobbs decision, the Gen Z kids coming out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Gen X coming out to vote finally, and the millennials voting. There's more of us than there are of them, the boomer types. All we have to do is fucking show up.
Yeah.
Unless, blah, blah, gerrymandering. We all know what I'm trying to say.
Unfortunately, when I look at all these, when I see, you know, people, interviews with MAGAs, I half expect them to be boomers.
Yeah.
Some are unfortunately Gen X, but a lot are in their 30s, and that makes them millennials, which me, I look back at, well, we raise you to be a special snowflake. I guess this is, you can have wrong thinking as part of your, this is the group that says, no, my opinion means more than facts. Yeah.
That's true. I don't know.
I did my own research. Research that supports my thesis only.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It's our parents told us not to believe shit on the internet, and then they went ahead and did.
Yep.
You know? Do. Yeah.
They do.
They do. So, let's do some news. Again, as long as we're less than an hour, I'm cool with however long the show goes. Mm-hmm. So some of these are going to be pretty easy because it's a holiday and I'm sleepy. But that reminds me. I was going to do a thing where at the beginning of the show, I take a gummy. Okay. Right? I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to take the gummy. Here we go. Sour cherry. And then I'm going to see how Patreon goes.
Oh, this is exciting for me.
This is a social experiment for everybody in which I get to have the most fun.
Yeah.
Did you want to join me in my social experiment? Well,
I'm not going to let you do it alone.
Okay.
I mean,
sorry, buddy.
It's more for you because
I need gummies.
he is such a lightweight.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
I am an absolute lightweight when it comes to opiates, marijuanas. Yeah, you name it. I'm a cheap date.
He's so adorable. There's one time he couldn't cover himself up in bed with the blanket. It was awesome. It was a highlight for me.
It
of the
was
year.
Twisted around itself, oh, it and so I couldn't funny. Get it untwisted.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
Like a little puppy lost in the blankets.
That's me. So George Santos. I am never going to get tired of talking about this fucking idiot.
How is he still around? How has he not dropped out?
Because the GOP has no sense of shame anymore.
No.
At all. Like, if Mark Foley were to happen today, I don't think they'd run him off.
They're not vetting any candidates. It's just a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep. I really think so.
The article starts to, besides the vulgarity, there's also the small point that what Santos is doing is illegal. No one in Congress is allowed to charge money for Capitol tours. Wait, what, you say? Yeah, George Santos, this is from Democratic Representative Richie Torres out of the Bronx, said, George Santos, who never misses an opportunity to violate congressional ethics, is charging people for touring the U.S. Capitol and attending his congressional swearing-in.
That is so classy.
Yeah. Is the U.S. Capitol one of the 13 properties in the imaginary Santos real estate empire? Question mark?
Probably.
From the New York Post, public backlash is not stopping Long Island and Queens representative-elect George Santos from trying to milk still loyal supporters for money when he gets sworn into office on January 3rd. 34-year-old Republican who admitted earlier this week to lying about his professional background, his academic background, his ancestry. What else was it? There's so much more.
Who he is as a person. He has lied about who he is as a person.
Yeah, he says he's gay, and I'm fine with that. You know, but he just divorced a lady 2 years ago, right before he ran for the first time.
After saying he's been supported by the GOP for over a decade.
My guess is he didn't tell him.
Oh, yeah. That's how he got the support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, I'm a Republican. This is my wife.
I'm a douchebag.
Yep.
We'll they're like, oh, right
welcome,
in.
Welcome, welcome, douchebag. Anthony Mercurio says, lol, George Santos is violating ethics rules and breaking campaign finance laws even before his swearing in. This scandal keeps getting more inane. I like that one a lot.
I would say it's unprecedented, but it's certainly not. It's precedented.
Yep.
Because Trump did the same thing, refused to disclose stuff before getting sworn in, and was she's still bilking his supporters. Yeah.
Following on with more news, fresh as we record today, Republican Congressman-elect George Santos appears to have mental issues. After revelations that he's fabricated large chunks of his life, and even when he apologized, it left more questions than answers. It was a half-assed apology. He said things like, "My sins here are embellishing my resume. I'm sorry."
Is that what we call it, embellishing?
That's what the cool kids are calling it now, yeah.
You know, I have embellished a resume or two in my time, not only for myself, mm-hmm. but when helping others.
Thank you.
You fluff a title.
Yeah.
You know, you have a task that you do that's a menial task. It's important, but it's menial. You make it sound more important.
You use big words, yeah.
That's embellishment.
That's embellishment, yeah.
Yeah. Saying that you've worked places you haven't worked, mm-hmm. that's not embellishment. That's a lie.
Yeah, have degrees that you don't have from universities that you've never gone to. Yeah.
Never gone to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why? That's ridiculous. This is embarrassing, and I don't understand how people let it go on.
Run for president in 2 years. He's going to run for president in 2 years.
And we just say, yep. Who cares?
Yep.
He loves Trump. Let's do it.
So from Politico, in a sign, Santos' standing is growing increasingly shaky. His campaign press secretary resigned on Thursday. Press secretary Gabby Lipsky has been expected to join the congressman-elect staff in D.C. before she stepped down, according to a person familiar with the matter. Mm-hmm. Rep. Richie Torres from the Bronx again has announced Thursday night he's introducing legislation that would require candidates for federal office to disclose their employment, educational, and military history under oath, and false statements would be punishable as perjury. He's calling it the Santos Act. He says,
"I love that. Let's start calling laws." On the ones who are forcing us to create this law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Torres says, "I find it outrageous that a fraudulent candidate like George Santos can lie to voters about his qualifications, about his employment and educational background. It would enable voters to compare what a candidate has said under oath versus what a candidate has said on the campaign trail." Mm-hmm. Act two from the Twitter says, "Gabby Lipsky lied to defend Santos. She doesn't get a pass." I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Anyway, this should be embarrassing for the GOP, but it's not. Kevin McCarthy has said absolutely nothing because he's so desperate to be Speaker of the House, and he's 5 votes short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he can't, and Santos has already said he's going to vote for him. So, of course, he wants him in. Because the mm-hmm. ends always justify the means for these fucking people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Especially
as long as we hold power, it doesn't matter who's in. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where it goes. There's talk that the Ethics Committee was going to pick it up, but with Republicans taking over day after tomorrow, I don't think so. I doubt we'll see a thing on it. I think if he stands for re-election, there's a pretty good chance he won't pass.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. But yeah, I don't. I'm interested to see what happens next. Jim Jordan, another douche, not even in charge yet. They're already playing with their subpoenas. They haven't even taken control of the House of Representatives. They haven't even settled on a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that they hate more than Kevin McCarthy are alternatives to Kevin McCarthy. But that has not cooled the ardor of some likely committee chairs to start investigating the Biden administration to death. Two of the MAGA dipshits slated to lead committees once they're sworn in next week, James Comer from Kentucky and Jim Jordan from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They've already sent wide-ranging document requests to the White House, presumably to obtain every email the executive branch has ever sent on any topic, because maybe the Bureau of Weights and Measures has the lowdown on Hunter Biden's fucking laptop.
You mean the laptop the Justice Department has had a hold of since Trump was in office? That laptop?
I'm so over it. I'm so over it.
Yep.
So both guys got nothing. Mm-hmm. And then they got a chiding letter from White House Special Counsel Richard Sauber, who told them to wait until they're actually chairing committees. Sauber let the two know that everything, that for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose, and for fuck's sake, it isn't time yet.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
I know you're excited to have your subpoenas and excite your base, but just
simmer down.
Let us have some Christmas and New Year's first, you fuckers.
To quote, Congress has not delegated such oversight authority to individual members of Congress who are not committee chairmen, and the House has not done so under its current rules.
They know this, though. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it.
In a November 18th, 2022 letter to the White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, Jim Jordan had warned that if his request for documents from the administration remained outstanding at the beginning of the 118th Congress, quote, the committee may be forced to resort to compulsory process to obtain the material we require. So he's already saying, as of more than a month ago, give me the stuff. And they're like, we don't have to yet. Hold your water. Get your committee. Let's move on. So, yeah. Fucking nuts. Absolutely fucking nuts.
It's fucking ridiculous.
They caught another vote frauder.
Yay.
Yep. It was another Republican.
Mm-hmm. Of course it
was. A county elections official in New York who plans to plead guilty in federal court as part of an ongoing Department of Justice election fraud case. The Albany Times-Union reports that Jason T. Schofield, who until yesterday served as Commissioner of Elections for Rensselaer County.
Great.
Will plead guilty on January 11th to felony election fraud charges. He was arrested by the FBI in September, charged with using at least 8 people's personal information without permission to apply for absentee ballots in 2021. The specific charges were 12 felony counts of unlawful possession and use of means of identification. He initially pleaded not guilty, and the plea announced yesterday by the Department of Justice noted that Schofield resigned his county election jobs after agreeing to the plea deal.
So what you're saying is he aimed high with 12 votes. 12 stolen votes.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, as they've pointed out, you know, the media has pointed out that this is not something that's going to be easy for anyone to do. This, the level of vote fraud that they're claiming, that the MAGA people are claiming, is impossible for a single individual to perpetrate. That's the highest number I've heard anybody get is 12. Yeah. Yeah.
Arizona spent $95 million putting up its double shipping container wall down on the border. $95 million in taxpayer money. It's going to cost $76 million to clean it up.
Oh, my God.
It's on federal land. They can't do what they did. It was against the law. Yeah, Doug Ducey paid millions to put the containers on the southern border as a wall to keep migrants out. According to the Arizona Daily Star, Ducey agreed to pay Ash Britt Management and Logistics $76 million to tear down containers they illegally placed on the southern border. The problem, in a nutshell, is that the containers were placed on federal land and the DOJ has sued Arizona to remove them. So after paying $95 million to install them, they need to be removed, and who better to do that than the firm that put them there in the first fucking place? Mm-hmm. And then the editor of the Crooks and Liars writes, imagine what $171 million could have done to make those migrants' lives less miserable instead of building a useless fucking boondoggle to keep them out.
Yeah. I'm so sad.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, but you know what else is fucked up?
We didn't go into the business of container laying.
Okay, there are two fucked up things. Two. Yeah, no doubt, huh?
That would have been a good one.
That's it for this section. Give us a sec. We're going to do a little commercial, and then we get back on the other side. We get some shitheads. Shitheads.
Yay! Shitheads.
My simple possible solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the trucks. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
No, I'm just at a loss on New Year's Day as to what to do. This year, obviously, it fell on Sunday, so we're going to record.
Right.
Because I don't really give a flying fuck about New Year's Day. I don't care. I've never, ever gotten excited about New Year's Eve either, to be honest.
No, I don't either.
It's just a static calendar thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, New Year.
I think it's a letdown.
Especially now that I don't write checks anymore.
Yeah.
That was an issue that our parents had that I also had, but my kids will never have.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. Though it was funny, my mother wanted to write checks to my kids for Christmas, and so she had my niece help her write it because she can barely hold a pen. And my niece just completely mangled writing the checks because... What the fuck does she know about writing a check?
Yeah.
And it was just funny that the bank still took the checks.
I wrote my first check like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
During the campaign, I wrote my first check. That was not easy to admit either.
Yep.
What is this piece of paper? I don't understand.
Yeah. I have no idea what to do.
You old people with your cotton gins and checks.
I heard this thing somewhere about a woman who she said she took her sons to the gas station. She said, okay, I'm going to show you how to pump gas. And so she got out, got everything going. And her one son was like, she's like, okay, your turn. He's like, Mom, I don't think I'll ever drive a car that needs gas. And her other son said, yeah, this is kind of like the time you showed us how payphones work.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, yeah, I think technology is changing too quick. But yeah, no. We'll do something big next year for New Year's Eve. I don't know about New Year's Day. New Year's Day to me is the day I recover from the hangover I got from New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
even
fair.
Today.
Did you do any drinking last night?
I did. Angus pulled out his some of his liquors, and we experimented with some various bartending things. You know, making different cocktails.
Is it weird?
Playing around.
Is it weird drinking with your kid?
It was for a few years, but now it just feels totally, it feels totally right. It'll feel weird when Moira decides she wants to drink.
Yeah.
It
kind of freaks me out to hear, especially when my kids are telling me things about illegal things for them that they should not know, that I didn't even know. I'm like learning shit from them.
I don't know how to process it. My kids are adults. Mm-hmm. all three of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and you know what? I got a Substack coming that you guys can read about where my brain is in regard to life, my children, and the holidays. Mm. This being the New Year's version of the I Hate Christmas newsletter I sent out 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. It does make Christmas a little easier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's just about getting them something and them getting, you know, them doing something to get me something and their mother something, and then that's it. Yeah. It just seems a little easier this now than trying to, you know, spoil the shit out of them.
Yep. I agree.
Hey, throw money now.
Yeah.
Christmas exactly. has gotten much easier. And I think, too, it's easier to, like, make your own rules about Christmas, you know, to decide mm-hmm. to do your own thing, that it doesn't have to look a certain way.
Yep. Doesn't have to. Yeah. We've not put up a tree in years. It's like, yeah, we didn't even decorate this year because we had a big problem that brought a lot of stuff back into the house that was not in the house. And so, yeah, it crowded up the living room and everything. And so while we're getting that sorted out, it was like, there's no room for any of this shit. We'll just give each other presents on Christmas and make dinner, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Keeps cats from peeing on stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Teenagers from tearing trees down.
Oh, yeah, we had
tearing trees down. The cats would tear the tree down. I know that.
Yeah, we had a kid do it this year.
We had a teenager do it this year.
Nice.
There were Christmas ornaments all over the apartment for days.
I think there's still some around.
Yeah, there's a little doubt of that. They rolled everywhere.
She went to plug it in, and then it came down on top of her. And so she yelled for me, and I ran out, made sure she was okay, and then ran to get my camera before I saved her from the tree.
She was buried under the tree.
Yeah.
Are you all right? Yes. I'll be right back.
Don't move. Oh, wait.
All right. Flail. Flail like it hurts. Hey, speaking of cat pee.
Yeah.
Jenny Thomas was very careful and very specific about what she said to the January 6th panel. But she says that she doesn't tell Clarence anything.
Whatever.
But she's also said that Clarence is her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You always tell your best friend shit you're not supposed to tell them.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even stuff they don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So her deposition is a little like taking a trip into a land where no one knows what anyone else in the same household is doing or thinking or crying about. If she's to be believed, Clarence Thomas has no clue that she's an ardent Trump fan or who her friends are, or that she sits on the board of the Council for National Policy's 501c4 action group, or mm-hmm. anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Or that she was supporting Civil War, any of that kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But if you read it carefully, it's pretty clear he knows exactly what the fuck she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You would know where your spouse was on January 6th. If you live in D.C. and we're in that area, of course you would know. Where are you? Are you okay? What's going on?
Find my phone. Where is she?
She's scaling the walls. She didn't tell me about this.
Frantic text. Why are you at the Capitol? Are you inside or outside?
New York Times notes, Jenny Thomas insists in her counsel biography that she and her husband operate in separate professional lanes. But those lanes, in fact, merge with notable frequency. For the three decades he sat on the Supreme Court, they've worked in tandem from the bench in the political trenches mm-hmm. to take aims at targets like Roe v. Wade and affirmative action. Together, they believe that America is in a vicious battle for its founding principles, as Jenny Thomas has put it. Her views, once seen as on the fringe, have come to dominate the Republican Party. And with Trump's three appointments reshaping the Supreme Court, her husband finds himself at the center of a new conservative majority poised to shake the foundations of settled law. In a nation frightened with division and upheaval, the Thomases have found their moment.
Fair.
Yeah.
I would say their paths converge every time they come home at the end of the day.
Probably.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Mm-hmm.
A Tesla autopilot led a police on a car chase after the driver fell asleep. Bamberg, Germany. Police in Germany say they have quite the time attempting to pull over a Tesla driver who'd fallen asleep behind the wheel. Traffic officers tailed the electric vehicle for about 15 minutes on Wednesday while on the Autobahn after signaling for a traffic stop with repeated horns and sirens. Quote, the driver was driving on the A70 from Bamberg in the direction of Bayreuth around noon when the police patrol wanted to subject him to a traffic check. He did not respond to stop signals or repeated horns from the officer. Officers found that the Tesla driver was reclining in the seat with his eyes closed and had his hands off the steering wheel. This strengthened the suspicion that he had left the controls to the autopilot and had fallen asleep. The 45-year-old driver of the Tesla eventually woke up, followed police instructions. Police noticed that the man showed typical drug-typical abnormalities during his checkup.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he's stoned and just turned on the autopilot and said, take me home.
At least he did that. Sounds safer than the alternative.
Yeah.
Adding to this, police reportedly found a steering wheel weight in the vehicle's footwell. Such a device is used to trick Tesla safety systems into thinking a driver's hands have remained on the wheel, so the autopilot remains active.
Mm.
Premeditated intoxication.
Yeah.
Driving under the influence.
I'm going to get fucked up and go to work.
Yep.
Behind the wheel of a car.
I agree with Tiffany. Apart from them trying to do a random traffic stop, it's a lot smarter than driving home stoned or drunk. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Trying to make it home, yeah.
Yeah. A man... Look, it's the beginning of the new year, okay? Mm-hmm. So for those of you that don't know, this might feel like a little bit more Patreon-y than normal. Because these are the fun stories that we put in Patreon. We like to have a good time. Mm-hmm. But a man who moved near train tracks has been complaining to train companies about train noises.
This is such a real thing.
I knew there was a railway line, but I thought they would close at 11:30. Mm-hmm. The man slammed the two train companies for driving him to madness after noises from the tracks kept him awake at night.
What happens at 11:30 that all trains, he thinks, just shut down at 11:30 p.m.?
That's bedtime. Mm-hmm. That's when everybody goes to bed, right? The antiques dealer has had to endure sleepless nights after he couldn't get to sleep because of the sounds that the trains make meters from his house.
I think he got bamboozled by a developer. That's what I'm thinking. And he doesn't want to admit it.
Barry,
the developer's probably his brother or something.
Yeah. Barry Carroll, 72-year-old antique silvers dealer, moved to Amersham from his apartment in King George of the Fifth's Road.
My goodness. Somebody just turn his hearing aids off. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
I know.
And it's just a few meters from the railway tracks, which serve both the Chiltern Railways and Underground Metropolitan Line. He says, my bedroom is very close to the tracks, but that's not the main issue. He claims the trains can stand there for more than 15 minutes with engine runnings, which happens especially on the weekend mornings and late evenings. A spokesman for the railways apologized that Barry had been disturbed by the trains in the sidings near Amersham Station. But again...
You'll get used to it, Mike. I know I did.
You really do get used to that kind of those kind of noises. It's like living in in Layton up in Clearfield by the Air Force Base.
The jets.
You don't even hear them after you've lived there.
We went up. Yeah. We went up for Tiffany's mom's little retirement thing, and we walked outside, and a couple flights of jets flew over. I was the only one that looked up. Everybody else just kept on talking. And I'm like, look, airplane. I love airplanes.
Same thing happens when I do things here in the backyard because we're in the flyway for the Salt Lake International. Mm. And it's like, I don't even look up anymore, but I've still got people who look up and go, hey, that was a Delta blah, 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 or whatever. And they'll say what the type of plane was. I'm like, whatever. I cared the first year we lived here.
Yeah.
If it's a Southwest plane, you're most likely hallucinating.
Mm-hmm. What? Then I grew up next to train tracks in Pleasant Grove, so you get used to it after a while. But still, it's funny.
Yeah. The lonely howl of the trains as they go by at night.
Mm-hmm.
I came to be very fond of that noise, but I wasn't near as close to it as you were.
Yeah. I think the only time it bothered me, really, it was the noise it would make when they were changing tracks,
yeah,
you know, having to shift. And the thing is it shifted right there behind our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Was where the shift was. And it just was fucking noisy because the train would have to back up and it just make all kinds of noise, just banging noises as it would back up and move forward and try to get onto the new track. And it was like, just move already.
Yeah, sidings are noisy. That's where they build the trains. That's where trains, quote, turn around, end quote, where they,
yep,
where they,
yeah,
take cars off, put cars on. Sidings, yeah, mm-hmm, and you had a siding right just the other side of the fence.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly. And it's loud. Yep. Yeah. It's fucking loud. Yep. So, and I got, and guess what? I got used to it and didn't go mad, Mr. Whatever from Britain.
Billy.
Billy. Yep.
I think it was Billy.
If you're looking for something to complain about, you're going to find it.
Yep. Yep.
If you are 72 years old and you're still going by Billy, and you're not a hobbit
or a zombie, yeah, from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't seen that. Bill Cosby is going to start touring a new comedy hour in 2023.
Of course he is.
The, quote, controversial, end quote, comedian said as much during a surprise radio interview the other day on WGH Talk with host Scott Spears. Cosby answered yes when asked if 2023 is the year he might finally be able to tour again.
Tour proudly sponsored by Pfizer, maker of Quaaludes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dark. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. Cosby, now 85, was convicted in Pennsylvania in April of 2018 for a criminal sex assault.
Mm-hmm.
He was released in 2021 following 3 years in prison after the conviction was overturned by the state Supreme Court. Cosby told Spears, when I come out of this, I feel like I'll be able to perform and be the Bill Cosby that my audience knows me to be. Yeah. A disgusting rapist.
Yep. Yeah.
Ugh.
More people are coming forward. Did you just say that?
Not yet.
Tell us some prison jokes, Bill.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be so uncomfortable. What jokes?
He didn't even have jello pudding or something.
Any
I don't know.
Joke. Any joke he says is going to be really uncomfortable.
Yep.
It should be anyway.
Cringe. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, earlier this month, 5 women filed a new sexual assault lawsuit against NBC and Bill Cosby under the new New York State law that temporarily suspends the statute of limitations for older sexual assault crimes. The women allege Cosby either raped them or forced them into sex acts. 4 of the allegations date from the late 80s and 1990s, when the actor was at the height of his fame in The Cosby Show on NBC. Mm-hmm. The 5th was accused Cosby of raping her in 1969.
I'm so sick of all of these men just getting away with shit.
Yeah.
Getting away with it and then having people support them. Like, how many women does it take? Mm-hmm. Coming forward.
Well, we've seen it politically on a local scale. You mm-hmm. know, once you get elected to something, you get this weird aura of unaccountability to you, and whatever you do, they're like, yeah, well, but they got elected. You know?
Well, it's my problem too is people feeling like they need to support these perpetrators, like saying, oh, well, he's never done that to me. I've never seen that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
You may not have, but
I'm so glad that didn't happen to you.
Ted Bundy didn't kill every girl he met.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure, anyway. Sorry, I thought you guys were going to keep talking while I took a drink, but...
Oh, no, no, no.
Nope. All right, look, let's take another break. When we get back on the other side, other problems.
Yay.
La my pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast. Happy New Year, true believers. This week, we not only have our regular show of news and reviews, but we also give our ratings of the best and the worst for 2022.
Will you be shocked and startled? We were.
This week, we remember Terry Hall, Gabrielle Beaumont, Stephen Twitch Boss, Dame Vivian Westwood, Judy Leavitt Koenig, Barbara Walters, and Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI.
You could have just said a suburban full of dead people.
In moving pictures, Ezra Miller is getting a Super Bowl commercial. James Gunn is working with Jim Lee.
Hopefully, this will work out for our favor.
Black Adam 2 is not happening. In comics, Aftershock Comics filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. John Ridley has ended his run on Black Panther. And Marvel teases another Avengers series.
Oh, yay, more Avengers. Yay.
We review Iron Man, Danger Street, Strange New Worlds, Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, Jon Stewart, The Emerald Knight, and She-Hulk number 9. All this and Henry Cavill likes to paint minifigures. Facefront, true believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Jeff, that's your line, dude.
I'm thinking.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Well, I'm upset. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned and I'm worried. Representative Jamie Raskin announced last week that he's been diagnosed with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, a serious but curable form of cancer. He also noted that the prognosis for most people in my situation is excellent after 4 months of treatment. Mm-hmm. Raskin said on MSNBC last week that his doctors had detected the cancer early. He'll begin outpatient chemo this week, crediting in part all the medical research and science and technology for his good prognosis. I have come to have very fond feelings for this particular gentleman after watching the little documentary they did on him on MSNBC, and knowing that his son passed away by his own hand. I mean, just all the shit. And that was right on the eve of the second impeachment, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
It's all a blur. I watched it a while back, but I'm going to play a couple of little things real quick. Let's see how this one goes.
There was some news from your office today that was announced by a statement, a report in the press about a diagnosis you recently received of a serious but treatable form of cancer, lymphoma. When did you get this diagnosis? How are you feeling and how are the next few months looking for you?
Well, I've had a battery of tests over the last several days, and it looks like it's 100% certain now that I do have this large B-cell lymphoma, which is a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, as I understand it. It's very serious and it's aggressive. But the great news is that because of all of the investments we've been making in medical research and science and technology, that it's very treatable. And we're getting it early enough that if I take well to the chemotherapy, which starts this week, and I go through all of my 6 sessions, then I'll be in good shape. I'm very grateful and thankful for that. And I have an amazing staff and great constituents and a loving family and friends. And so it is totally my plan, Chris, to make it through this thing.
Well, we are, of course, rooting for you and sending you our best. And I just want to say this time of year, you know, you've written incredibly movingly about your son, Tommy. You lost just about 2 years ago. And he's in our thoughts as well. And all the people out there this time of year battling depression, we're thinking of them as well. And I know it's something that's front of mind for you. So we're all pulling for you. And thank you so much for taking time, Congressman. Really, really means a lot.
So one more little clip I'd like to play, which is basically Raskin having a chat with Matt Gaetz. Everybody ready? Can you hear him, buddy?
No.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry.
That every other episode.
I know, it's nuts.
Every other episode.
All right, give me just a sec. This one's shorter.
To people who had not requested them, that Donald Trump would be sitting behind the Resolute desk.
Okay, but you don't think that there is, legally speaking, I know you're a lawyer because you went to the great law school, William Mary. Legally speaking, there was no election fraud or no election corruption. Well, let's put it this way. Do you agree that 61 different federal and state courts, including 8 judges that Donald Trump appointed himself to the federal bench, have rejected every claim of electoral corruption or fraud that have been advanced? Do you agree with that?
I don't. And the reason is those claims are not evaluated because in many of the circumstances you reference, jurisdiction was the principal question. So I think it requires a review of the procedure.
Do you have any case authority in the land of those 61 cases or any other cases where a court has determined that there was electoral corruption or electoral fraud that materially affected the outcome of an election in any state in the union?
No court.
Do you have one?
Which I believe is a real failure of the judiciary. I think the Article III courts failed our country by not exercising more jurisdiction over those questions. Now, there's a difference in whether or not fraud existed and whether or not there's an adequate remedy. And I think also a number of those cases were kicked on remedies.
No court has said that fraud existed, and so there's no remedy because there's no violation, Mr. Gaetz.
Right, but you cannot.
There's no violation. There's no fraud.
The court decided that there was no fraud if they didn't take up the question and review the facts on jurisdiction or remedy.
You know what? That might work on Steve Bannon's podcast, but that's not going to work in the Rules Committee of the United States House of Representatives. I'm sorry, Mr. Gaetz. Forgive me.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that's a good one. That might work on Steve Bannon's podcast. But that's not going to work here. Brilliant. The announcement on the cancer came almost 2 years to the day after the death of Raskin's 25-year-old son, Tommy.
Oh, that's
by
so
suicide.
Sad.
It really is sad. I mean, it just breaks my fucking heart. You know? I mean, it's sad regardless of who he is, but the fact that he is who he is and that he means to me what he means to me. I like firebrands. I like people that'll stand up and shout when they need to, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, Greta Thunberg.
Yes.
Love this kid. More and more. On the 27th of December, former kickboxer, professional misogynist, and online entrepreneur Andrew Tate, 36 years old, sent a boastfully hostile tweet to climate activist Greta Thunberg, 19, about his sports car collection. "Please provide your email address," he said, "so I can send a complete list of my car collections and their respective enormous emissions." Yeah.
Douchebag.
So she wrote back.
Love it.
What was it? "Yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com. So everybody jumped on that and kind of ran with it. He tried to twist it to, "Nice to know you have a small dick, ha ha ha." It's like, no, no.
Nope, that's not how that went.
Nope. You've been burned, dumbass.
Nope. You lost it. You're losing it. You're losing it, dude.
So
that was funny.
With that taken, and not having worked, he sat down and recorded a video in which he was an asshole some more. And while being an asshole, the cops in Romania, who have been waiting to arrest him because he's supposedly been out of the country forever, on sex trafficking and rape charges. After an 8-month investigation into all that, all they want to do now is arrest him. Well, one of them noticed in the video that that Andrew had been eating a Jerry's Pizza. Mm-hmm. Jerry's Pizza is Romanian. And they're like, "What do you say? We get a bunch of cops together. We go down. We arrest him. Let's go see if he's home."
I just love the idea that
I mean, the thing about the Jerry's pizza is he even calls it out. He's like, bring me a pizza, and I'm not going to recycle the boxes as the Jerry's pizza is brought in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, her reply gained traction to become one of the top 10 tweets of all time.
Mm-hmm.
At the time this article was written, it's been liked 3.5 million times and shared 650,000 times. And a lot of people on the news were talking about it. So the cops went and they arrested him. And she had one last tweet to round it all out, saying, that's what you get when you don't recycle your pizza boxes.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Yep.
Absolute mic drops. And another one is a Romanian court has extended the detention of Tate in the rape and human trafficking case because he's a flight risk.
Of course he is.
No bail for at least 30 days.
They don't really have bail in Romania, do they?
No, I don't know.
No, probably they don't really have bail. So basically, he's detained for 30 days. He gets to sit in jail for 30 days.
No own recognizance for this piece of shit.
Yep.
A Romanian court agreed late Friday to extend the detention of Andrew Tate by 30 days after divisive internet personality was arrested on suspicion of human trafficking, rape, and forming an organized crime group.
That was the big one.
Yeah. What a tool. What an absolute tool.
And for me, it wasn't so much a mic drop with Thunberg. To me, I could almost picture her walking away from an explosion, putting on sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
That slow-mo was such a badass burn at the end. It was just like, that's what you get for not recycling your pizza boxes.
You know, because females are so emotional.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's just it. She does two simple one-line tweets. He has to respond with an incomprehensible video. I watched some of this video. It was like it made some of Trump's videos look intelligent. It was that bad. And he's over going, yeah, I really burned her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you didn't. And boom, you got arrested for it anyway, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Because you're a tool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like that kid. She's mm-hmm. whip smart. You know, I like what she has to say, and I enjoy the way she says it. But, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Trump sent out a warm and loving message for 2023.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
Let's see if it's recorded. I don't believe it is. I think it's just written. Donald Trump is not having a great New Year's Eve.
Aw.
Yeah. Admittedly, let's see. He had to unleash something stupid. Here it is in its entirety. I am about to read it, and so I will feel dirty for the rest of the day. Happy New Year, all caps. To all of the radical left Democrats, Marxist lunatics, China-loving Coco Chow and her obedient husband Mitch and clueless rhinos who are working so hard to destroy our once great country, period. More importantly, Happy New Year, all caps, to the incredible, brave, and strong American patriots who build, love, and cherish America, period. The all caps real leaders of our country will always remain all caps faithful and all caps loyal to you. The USA will be back bigger and better and stronger than ever. God bless you all. Oh, well. Gag. Serious gag.
And buy my new Bible.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
What a piece of shit.
It makes my eyes twitch.
Yeah. Twitchy eyes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are at the end of the news, which means it's time to go and do Patreon.
Yay!
We got a lot of exciting stories in Patreon this week. We've got murders in Idaho. We've got Kevin McCarthy. We've got Carrie Lake. Action-packed Patreon over at patreon.com, patreon.com/defenmedia, DEFEN media. That's where we go every week that we record to do a Patreon show for those of you that help us support. Now, look, I say this every year about this time, mm-hmm. but we got the big balloon payment coming in a couple weeks. The big balloon payment is actually smaller this year than it has been in years past, which is nice.
That's really nice.
So we're going to do a little fundraising. We do a little ask on the Facebook and on the Twitters. If you guys can give a little, that'd be great. The best way to give is to jump on Patreon, because then you get something for it.
Yeah.
You know, a little extra that other people don't get. You get bragging rights, you know, to having the good stuff. So patreon.com/dfenmedia. Guys, happy new year. Thanks for sticking with me for another batch. Mm-hmm. I really do appreciate it.
It was fun. Can't wait to see how those gummies hit you in Patreon.
Yeah.
I'm
happy
feeling
new
it a
year,
little now.
Everyone.
I'm feeling a little now, which I think is why we ran short. But we will see. So yeah, over Patreon, I'll be high as a kite.
Yay.
Some more. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Happy New Year, and let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.